Live from NPR News, I'm Barbara Klein. 10 Republican senators have sent a letter to the White House requesting a meeting with President Biden. As NPR's Barbara Sprunt reports, they want to discuss a counterproposal to his coronavirus relief package.
Their proposal includes some elements already in Biden's plan, like allocating $160 billion for vaccine distribution, testing, and PPE. It also includes extending enhanced federal unemployment benefits and deploying additional resources to help small businesses. The letter from the 10 senators, led by Susan Collins of Maine, comes as many Democrats are looking to a process called budget reconciliation, which would allow them to pass Biden's plan without Republican support. Senator Bill Cassidy of Louisiana, one of the lawmakers who signed the letter, told Fox their plan would cost around $600 billion, a fraction of the size of Biden's proposal. Barbara Sprunt, NPR News, Washington.
A Republican congressman from South Carolina is being censured by party members in his state for voting to impeach former President Trump following the January 6th attack on the U.S. Capitol. South Carolina Public Radio's Victoria Hansen reports.
The censure is a symbolic expression of disapproval by state Republican Party members that could have electoral consequences for Congressman Tim Rice. He's expected to be challenged in the midterm in a district that has shown strong support for Donald Trump. Rice has campaigned with Trump and backed much of his legislation, but says he voted his conscience when deciding the former president should be impeached for what Rice characterized as inaction during the Capitol riot. Party committees across the country have moved to punish those House Republicans who supported impeachment. For NPR News, I'm Victoria Hansen in South Carolina.
Demonstrators have turned out across Russia, many in sub-zero temperatures, for a second weekend, demanding the release of jailed opposition leader Alexei Navalny. From Moscow, NPR's Lucian Kim reports some activist groups say about 4,000 people are being detained in dozens of Russian cities.
In downtown Moscow, protesters were met by riot police who plucked individuals off the street and bundled them into police trucks. One protester, Alina Mukhardamova, said she was afraid but had no choice but to show up.
In Russia, the government is suppressing anyone who has an opinion different from a very narrow point of view. We came here to show that we are not alone, that there are many of us.
Before today's rally, authorities rounded up Alexei Navalny's aides and warned protesters they could be prosecuted on mass rioting charges, which carry up to 15 years. Lucian Kim, NPR News, Moscow.
This is NPR. In Chicago, the school district and teachers' union say they've agreed on four coronavirus safety issues, but they remain at odds over whether in-person classes should resume tomorrow or be phased in as staff gets vaccinated. German Chancellor Angela Merkel is summoning state governors to meet tomorrow morning to address the country's slow vaccine rollout. Esme Nicholson reports just over 2% of the population has received an initial dose so far.
According to Merkel's office, representatives from major vaccine manufacturers and from the EU Commission are due to join her and Germany's 16 state governors to find solutions to the major shortfall in vaccines. Speaking to the Frankfurter Allgemeine newspaper on Sunday, Federal Health Minister Jens Spahn said there's no reason why the coronavirus vaccines from China and Russia couldn't be used in Europe, providing they're approved by the European Medicines Agency. While the EMA granted full approval of the Oxford AstraZeneca vaccine on Friday, Germany's health authorities recommend it is given only to those under the age of 65, citing a lack of trial data about efficacy in the elderly. For NPR News, I'm Esme Nicholson in Berlin.
Britain's 100-year-old Captain Tom Moore, who walked laps around his garden to raise money for the National Health Service, has been hospitalized. His daughter posted on his Twitter account that he tested positive for COVID-19 and needed help with his breathing. I'm Barbara Klein, NPR News.